One Georgia writer has taken her memoir from page to screen. Author Loretta Hannon's book, The Cracker Queen, was named as one of the books all Georgians should read by the Georgia Center for the Book in 2010. And now it's the subject of a documentary called Raised in the South of Normal. The short film is making its Georgia debut at the Macon Film Festival, and both Hannon and the director sat down with us to talk about adapting the book into a movie.
I'm Loretta Hannon. I'm the Cracker Queen.
Tell me about what that is.
A Cracker Queen. Okay. Cracker Queens are humans who have been through some hard stuff, overcome it, are working to overcome it, to move forward while maintaining a wicked sense of humor.
We moved to Wrightsville right after my parents got divorced. Here I was in a completely different town with my mother, who was more out of control than ever, but I didn't have anyone to call. My mother was having gentlemen over at night, drinking, forgetting I was even there.
Raised in the South of Normal is the story of my life from the time I was in my mother's womb and she wanted to end the pregnancy, so she went to a tar paper shack out in the woods in middle Georgia to see the lady who handled those jobs, because it was before abortion was legal. So it takes us from there all the way until now in my life, and I've had a lot of adventures and a lot of real messed up stuff happen.
In the course of the filming, you returned to your hometown and some of the places that you grew up in around middle Georgia for the filming.
We're going to be standing on ground that I have not stood on since 1990. Very mixed feelings, because we're going to the place where a lot of sad things happen.
Tell me about that experience. I mean, had you been back in the past?
I had been back to Warner Robins, my hometown, but I had not been back to the old neighborhood. I still have family there, so, you know, I've been back through the years many times, but I never went back to the old places. And it's kind of funny, because you think someone writes this really hardcore at times memoir, you know, about how rough things were at times, but then she doesn't go back to look at her old rental house by the railroad tracks. No, I hadn't. It had been over 20 years.
Wow.
You know? And the neighborhood wasn't good to begin with, but now it is entirely sketchy and dangerous. The city officials made us have a police escort for the whole time we were there filming. And they're actually going to be decimating the neighborhood because it's just so overrun and, you know, with prostitution and drugs and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wasteland now. So it was very startling to go there. I was nervous, but I was also kind of energized and excited. As a writer, I know that place is a character, and it has its emotions and its ties and the people you associate with it and the smell and everything. So I knew that it would be powerful for me to return there, and it was.
Yeah.
It was quite surprising. I've never seen some of the emotions come out of her that did, and I've known her for many years now. My name is Daniel Espute, and I'm the CEO of Espute Productions.
Now, Loretta Hannon's book, The Cracker Queen, it's incredibly revealing. She doesn't really pull any punches talking about her upbringing, the violence in her home. Are there any new insights that we get from Hannon Raised in the South of Normal?
I know Loretta saw this as a way to sort of add to what she couldn't put in the book, because at the time when the book came out, her mom was still alive. And since then, her mom had passed, and there's just been, I guess, she feels a little bit more freeing to tell other aspects of the story.
Mom and I would be driving around in the butter-colored Cadillac. Everything would turn very thrilling when we would see the men on the chain gang working by the side of the road. Mama would look at me and I'd look at her, and we'd rush to the nearest convenience store and buy cartons of cigarettes for the inmates.
I mean, as the subject yourself, I mean, is there anything new that you got from telling these stories on film?
I got a lot out of doing this project. And the project and the film does include quite a few things that are not in the book. The filmmaker had me sit on a bar stool in his home studio, and it was just the two of us, and he asked me questions for 5 hours.
Wow.
Without a break. And, and when I was done, I was so empty. You know, there, I was just completely, you know, drained of everything. After that, he asked about things that are not included in the book that happened after the book came out, such as my mother's death. And yeah, and I got a lot out of it too, just in the year since the book was published. You know, I hope I've grown a bit as a human. And so I did have an epiphany there in front of my father's house.
Tell me that story.
My father lived in this tiny house by the railroad tracks. And when we walked there and I saw it for the first time in 24 years, it was boarded up and the right side of the house was gone. And the weeds were actually 6 or 7 feet tall in places. And it was just a scene of, you know, loneliness and you know, not being loved. You know, that area has passed its prime, you know. But as I walked up there, I remember details. You would walk in the front door. The tiny living room was just big enough for an upright piano. My dad was a jazz musician, so there was I was remembering him playing that piano and remembering the hot plate that we had. We didn't have a stove oven type situation, so he had a hot plate on top of the washing machine in the kitchen. And so I was actually, when I was standing there looking at it, I was remembering, you know, what happened in each room. And, you know, and that was really a happy reflection for me. You know, seeing my dad in my head, seeing my dad's ham radio shack, which was the back room. And we'd have all these great discussions late at night in there about, you know, music and philosophy and Eastern religions. And
where it's boarded up right there, that was Daddy's bedroom, and to the far left, that was my bedroom. I'm just feeling awash in gratitude that I had that father.
And the epiphany that I had as I was standing there was, you know, it just all sort of made sense in terms of my growth, that he was the perfect teacher for me to have as a father. And my mother, despite all of her many flaws, outrageous flaws and weaknesses, she was exactly who I needed to have as a mother to be where I am now, which is, thankfully, on most days, a pretty joyful person. You know, a lot of my writing and my thinking revolves around light and darkness, or joy and sorrow, and how they dance together and they hold hands and are so intertwined, and one requires the other, you know, to exist and all that jazz. Well, that's what I was flooded with when we got out of the car and I started looking at the old places. You know, I thought of silly stuff like the lady who lived in the single wide next door to us. She died by choking on a banana sandwich. You know, and so I'm bringing this. That did not make the final cut. So it was this weird mixture of this funny, crazy, you know, tragic stuff, and then also just real bone deep, sorrowful memories of things, because I'm the only person who lived in those houses who is still living. So, you know, I've lost a sister and my parents. So it was really strange.
When the family deteriorated, when the marriage blew up, you know, it really blew up. My mother just did not appreciate how much time that my dad was spending away from home. He was a working musician in addition to being a band teacher in our town. So he was out playing gigs many nights, and she was sick of him being gone so much, and she warned him that she would destroy all the glass in his car. And she made good on her promise. When the bat broke, she finished off the job with her bare hands.
A lot of the memories that you talk about in the film, I mean, they sound like very painful memories. What do you get from putting yourself out there like that, first in book form and then on film?
Well, when I initially wrote The Cracker Queen, that was just a very healing, releasing, clarity-inducing project because, you know, writing just does that, mm-hmm. okay? And I couldn't play like a fiction writer can play in the land of unfettered imagination where any character can be or say anything. I was chained down by, you know, the fact that I was writing about people who were still living. You know, you're sitting down there going, okay, I must be fair, but I also cannot dilute anything because it's my truth, you know? My mother might have had a different truth. She did in some ways, but... So just writing the book helped me tremendously in terms of just being a healing, releasing it, letting go of some stuff. For years leading up to the book happening, before I started writing the book, I would have a recurring nightmare that I was purging gruesome things out of my mouth. I mean, like gasoline, my own intestines, I mean, all this kind of stuff. And a friend said to me, after I'd been having these dreams for over a decade, a friend said, yeah, you think you have something you need to get out or express? And I guess I'm a slow learner. I said, oh, duh, yeah, I guess so, right? Once I started writing my book, I never again had that nightmare. And then also, once the book came out and I started going around telling the stories from the book, and even with this, with Raised in the South of Normal, the joy and the gift comes from sharing that, and then also in what you get back from people, the connections you make with people.
I think her story is very relatable. It's just like what she says about what a cracker queen is. It's not a male-female thing. It's not a white, you know, woman thing. It's not a color thing. It's not even a faith-based thing. You know, the cracker queen is sort of a term that works for anybody who takes the struggles that they've dealt with in their life, whether it's more or less than the person next to you, and how they deal with it and how they find the humor in it. And I think that's a very unique way of sort of handling your problems, handling your issues. And she just does it so well. And of course she does it in the written word, in her writing. And that's a big, big step, I think, to put yourself out there publicly like that. And you know, that's where I feel I just needed to tell the story. And I'm very honored that myself and the whole crew gets to be the one that tells that story.
I hope it's an entertaining story, and I hope it might make someone think about their own truth and how to accept whatever has gone down, to accept it and move forward.